point, because I was at this meeting, also on behalf of Curtis Parks. And the threshold you have of 85% would mean, on average, for a team in, that plays out of Curtis Parks, or a team like the Ravens, or any other team, it means you would only be allowed to have one or two kids that lived outside of Clarington. That threshold's way too high. And when you have things like split families, or, you know, in Pontypool where they don't offer that type of softball, you're taking opportunities from kids. Or, you know, in Curtis Park's case, we have a lot of families that have cousins that may live in Oshawa and come across. So, I don't object to being some type of threshold, but that threshold's way too high.
And I agree. That's where I was, maybe it is too high.
I thought 12 kids, you can only have.
I thought that the original one, the email that I got, I thought a lot of it was based upon what you're being charged, but it's 50, we're only increasing the charge to 50 cents per hour.
Right? It's currently $25 per hour, which if we did not meet the 85% threshold, would go up to $43 per hour, which is 58% increase.
Okay, and I agree this could be far-reaching as far as not only for baseball, could be for hockey, could be for anything
else. Devastating.
We
just simply would not have the money to be able to run the season because of the diamonds. Like 18.
I know, I've been there before, so I know what you're talking about. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Mr.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Anderson.
Thank you, and thank you for your presentation. Being a fan of softball, I played. I used to be a part of this league at one time. I do understand the hardship, and we're trying to encourage people to keep active and do exercise. For me, I would rather play a sport. I'm not that disciplined to go to a gym. I would rather take part in an activity that involves folks, and it's a way of building relationships and building a community. You are saying, through the chair, your fees are already set for this year,
yes.
So it's not an unreasonable ask that maybe if adjustments are made, we would do it the following year, or if it's something maybe we should be looking at. And I am totally supportive of that. And you do allude to the spin-off to our business community, and they go after for drinks, whatever. So it's a benefit to our community as well. So
absolutely,
we should be doing things that encourage this rather than discouraging it. So
yes,
I understand, and I'm very sympathetic to your cause, and will support anything that we can done that can be done to alleviate that hardship. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Do we have anything further? Councillor Neal.
Yeah, through the chair, are you able to assist me with where this residency requirement is in this policy?
The exact page that it's on?
Yeah, do you know where exactly it is, Mr. Kirk?
I don't recall off the top of my head. It was brought up at that user's meeting. From municipal staff. It is in there someplace, though.
Mr. Brake can help you with that. That's in the policy booklet, is it not, Mr. Brake?
Yes. Through the chair, Councillor, you'll find that policy on page 16 of the user group booklet.
So, through the chair, so is this a new requirement?
It took everybody at the meeting by surprise, so I assume it is, yes.
So are your games pretty much Sunday nights, is that?
They are Sundays. There's three sets. We do at 2:30, 4, and 5:30. They're all within Clarington.
Okay. And is it fast pitch softball or lob ball?
It's actually four pitch, right? So it's co-ed. And so we have, it's a great family thing because you have a lot of couples that are playing in it. So a lot of people get attracted from outside of Clarington to play in the league as well.
Okay.
And at $150, people, our diamonds are not worth $150 to play in. We don't have that quality of diamonds here.
Okay. And are there any issues with the use of the washrooms at Rickard? Is that?
At Rickard?
Yeah.
There's the porta potty.
I see. You don't get to use the washrooms inside or whatever?
I don't, if the facility's open, I'm assuming that it's accessible, but I don't recall seeing anyone ever go into it.
I mean, it seems to me that, as I recall, one of the things that that for example, the region is promoting is sports tourism, right? So, of course, we had to hire a consultant to tell us that sports tourism is a good economic driver. So I don't understand personally why we'd care if somebody wants to rent our fields, unless we're you know, putting people, youth leagues or something, where they can't get a diamond, right? So are you displacing anybody that you're aware of through the chair?
No.
Okay.
And the diamonds we use for our league, for that league, is primarily the adult diamonds that the kids don't use.
I see. So they're adult diamonds?
Yeah.
So you're not keeping any other ball players off the field by you being out there? Sure. Okay. So makes no sense to me why we'd even do this, given, you know, like I said, the promotion of, quote, sports tourism. And it seems to me that Clarington was even doing that through their tourism department. Or are we not? Is this not something that we're hiring? We have staff hired to promote
sports tourism was, I think they talked a lot more about hockey, but sports tourism was part of that recent plan. And this is the ideal. This is, you know, every Sunday guaranteed in Bowmanville. 16 teams playing.
Not on weekends.
Not on long weekends, but yes.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate your coming.
Okay, do we have anything further? I have a prediction as to how this is going to go, but I do have a couple of questions. So on a note that we got from staff, the suggestion was if you looked at the field time for 2018, and added 50 cents an hour, the total cost to your league would be just shy of $141. And I'm hearing, you know, far more from you. So those...
That's the regular increase.
Yeah, that's...
So that's a regular increase of which we budget in, because a number of years ago, council said we'll be increasing fees by so much.
By $1 per year, per hour. And that's what we accounted for in our budget in February.
So yeah. So you'd just like to, and I'm thinking everyone else, heads up prior to you collecting checks from people would be a good plan.
Sorry, I'm sorry, I didn't hear
you. I'll have to get to, I thought the sound system was doing pretty well this morning too. I was saying, so, you know, a big, and the clerk says it's not the sound system, it's the mayor. You're right. So a big part of this is, you know, understanding what's coming fee-wise prior to you guys setting your rates. Good.
Well, but certainly, you know, $1 is very different than, you know, $18 if we don't meet, you know, if this residency requirement goes through. That's just not sustainable for our league.
Well, we don't have the quality fields.
To justify it.
Justify $150.
I suspect there are going to be a couple of areas of that discussion that we'll have later on today. So thank you. Thank you for all of the work that you put into on a league basis. So not only bringing a ton of people here, but providing an awful lot of fun for residents and some non-residents too. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, might I suggest that now is probably a good time for a 10-minute break, and you can get some coffee, Councillor Neal, or not. Seconded by Councillor Jones, all in support, opposed, that is carried. So if we could be back at just prior to 11:10, this would be good. Thank you. Please. Okay, Councillor Hooper, if I do this, am I ready to sing the Chipmunk song or something? Okay, we are in the communications portion of the agenda. That's items 8.1 through to items 8.5. We've already dealt with 8.5, which was the Clarington Board of Trade. So could I have a motion on the communications for information? Councilor Schwartz, seconded by Councilor Hooper. Do we have any polls? Councilor Hooper?
I was going to poll Newcastle BIA,
okay,
but
that's 8.
You've already made the announcement, so it's okay.
Well, what the heck? You started it now, so in 8.2, all right. So we're pulling 8.2. Any further polls? Call the question on receive for information. All in support? Opposed?
4, please.
8.4, all right. So I've got 8.2 and 8.4. Anything further? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Hooper. I need a motion, and then you're going to highlight.
Received for information, and...
Seconded by Councillor Anderson, thank you.
Right, and on, I just wanted to say, on item number 10, we're talked about CBOT, and it says down halfway, about three-quarters of the way down, it says on March 25th, 2008, the mayor will make an announcement, a new business coming to the area. And you did that this morning, and I just wanted, that's all. Thank you.
So there's not another business coming?
Again, we didn't know about it.
All right, on the motion to receive, call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Neal, 8.4, and if I can get a motion.
So, my motion, I guess, would be to refer this back to staff to see what we can do as a municipality on eliminating single-use plastics in our buildings.
All right. Seconded by Councillor Jones. Questions or comments? Councillor Neal.
So, for example, on Friday at our meeting, I'm assuming we'll show up and there'll be, you know, sandwiches on a nice plastic tray, with a nice plastic lid on them. There'll be plastic forks, plastic spoons, plastic knives. I've tried in the past to put a stop to that. There always seems to be an exception to it, which I don't understand. So I thought it was pretty clear. But so this is a constant issue with me, where I've actually run an event with over 100 people with no disposable items, none. So it's doable. So personally, for example, on Friday, I'd prefer to see zero plastic that gets thrown out as a result of that meeting. So I think we need to start getting serious about this because, I've been following what they're doing in Vancouver. I'm not talking, again, I'm just talking about what we as a municipality can do ourselves. And I think, you know, if we start there, then maybe we will have some standing to start trying to bring this out to the rest of the community. But it's just because I don't know where all this stuff goes, because I assume that our garbage gets picked up by, I don't know who the contractor is. It's probably Waste Connections or Miller or UPAC, and off it probably goes to landfill in Michigan. So I don't even know where our garbage ends up. But we need to start, in my mind, taking some steps on this. And the other thing that I'm wondering, for example, on is what is going on in our community service, in our arenas, in our various facilities, and even within this municipality. So I was at a tour, for example, of Markham with several councillors, I believe it was, can't remember, it was 2 weeks ago. They took away all the garbage cans. Nobody gets their own garbage can. I think it's a great idea. So we should probably do that in our municipality. It just, so you don't get a waste bin under your desk to pitch stuff in that you just feel like putting stuff in. So there's a whole host of things that we can do, but we've got to start eating away at this, in my mind, to really make an impact. So. And there's another motion on the floor, which I'll hopefully discuss a little later in the meeting. But I just think we're not really making any progress on this, and so I think we need to have a serious conversation about how this is going to work for us, and then so that we can, as somebody said to me during that tour in Markham, you know, you can't talk to the rest of the community when you're not doing it yourself. So, you know, we have things like Project Green, and then we walk out of these meetings, and there's a garbage bag full of plastic left over. So it shouldn't happen, in my mind. Thank you.
So, Councillor Neal, the clerk has a suggestion on wording for the motion.
I just want to make sure that I've got it, because I've changed it a little bit. Refer the matter of single-use plastic plates, cups, and cutlery to staff to see what can be done about reducing their use in Clarington facilities. Is that?
Well, first of all, let's be clear. Any event that takes place in our building or outside our building which involves, again, I don't know if anybody supports me on this. I hope they do. But, for example, I'm talking about Friday. No plastic. When we have any event that takes place in these chambers that's council-related or whatever, there's no plastic. It's that simple, and it's doable. So anybody that tells me it's not doable, I can tell you that I've done it with no plastic. It's done. It can be done.
Okay, so the clerk isn't clear on what you're looking for in the motion.
So it's any council meeting, event, whatever you want to call it.
Okay, council or municipal?
Or, and then to refer back to staff to eliminate the plastic use in our buildings in general. So okay, I know
so
that's a little
at,
more.
You're looking at two.
Yes, please.
In,
yeah.
Okay. Refer the matter of single-use plastic plates, cups, and cutlery to staff. Do you want that wording left in to see what can be done about reducing their use at Clarington Council meetings or events, and that staff report on the elimination of plastics in Clarington buildings.
Yes.
All right. Further questions or comments, Councillor Jort?
That second piece, I think you mean single-use plastics, not just plastics in general.
Right. Yep.
All right. Anything further on that? So a couple. I was getting there. But thank you. So two things, Councillor Neal. I can tell you that staff do try. They really do, and I've had comments after a couple of events similar to the Strat plan, where they really do try. This isn't a bad thing to try harder. Mr. Brake, we made some changes around town a couple of years ago. Can you talk about them?
Certainly, the contract came due a couple of years ago for a new recycling contractor. And there is a program internally to deal with a collection of plastics and metals. The program can be expanded to include organics and other municipalities. They have gone as far as reducing their garbage cans down to very small ones and providing a larger recycling bin. There is an initiative that has to come from staff internally to take the material to centralized collection areas where plastics, paper, organics can be all collected. There is obviously a cost implication to setting up a program like that, but it's a doable thing, providing there's the corporate support for it.
Markham and a couple of us will recall, Markham had in place, they made some fairly significant changes. So exactly what Councillor Neal is talking about, garbage cans disappearing, and I suspect an awful lot of garbage goes home with employees to be put in their garbage bags. Have we looked at that recently? That was a topic. I'm looking at Councillor Hooper 6 years ago, 8 years ago. Yeah. So maybe you could take a look and see what Markham has done and is doing on that.
For sure.
All right. So you have the motion. Call the question. All in support. Opposed. And that is carried. Thank you. All right. Oh, sorry. Stole the clerk's agenda. All right, we are now in item 9. These are communications for direction. 9.1, which is from Durham Region, and this is with regards to the broadband strategy for Durham Region. The suggestion is a motion to endorse. Councillor Hooper, thank you. Councillor Anderson, questions or comments? Councillor Neal.
So, Mr. Chair, I'm also going to give you a motion to amend that, to refer that over to the Board of Trade and to advise whether there is anything in the recent federal announcement about support for this where we as a local municipality could take the initiative. So again, I'm just looking for help on any wording, but you know, like I'll speak to Vagna a second or and then. Yes. Yep. Okay. Yep. Yep. So again, if there's, I know, for example, I heard a lot of about this in, for example, up in Berkton. So if there's something that is not going to get picked up by Durham Region, but we as a local municipality, perhaps, again, I don't know how this is all going to look, but I was reading about the federal announcement about, I don't know, a national strategy or whatever, and if there's something that, for example, is not going to get initiated by Durham Region, but we perhaps as a local municipality can, and it makes sense, that's all. Just, we need to keep the discussion going for sure. Thank you.
All right, anything further on that? So I'm doing this with a bit of temerity, but I'll share some information. Oh, sorry, Councillor Hooper.
Before you get started, I'd just like to add a little bit to what Councillor Neal is speaking about, and I too have had conversations with people in the north part of Ward 2, Enniskillen, Hampton, and areas out there. And I know that quietly, some members of staff have been working, trying to satisfy the solution out there, to come to a solution or some sort of a, and so it's in the works. And I, you know, outside of, again, I think there's some sort of privacy issues around the whole thing in regards to people working on trying to get fiber optic cabling or whatever else. And in fact, I believe in City Homes in Enniskillen, they have the service already there. So, you know, it's slowly starting to make its way northward. The Berkton issue is another issue, and we're looking at opportunities. I think everyone's looking at opportunities to try and get it even further on. And I think Blackstock already has, I believe they have it out there too as well. So we're kind of in an area where it's not there yet. So that's just my 2 cents worth.
All right. Councillor Anderson.
Yeah, to further to what Councillor Hooper says, I've had the same situation in Tyrone. I thought I might have brought it to your attention, and you know, man for man, every home, it's always broadband internet services, or the lack thereof, or if they do have any, it's not very efficient or effective. So we would love to see some progress on that too as well. Thanks.
Anything further? So Councillor Neal, it's a good motion. I can tell you, I asked the Board of Trade and staff to look at that. So while it hasn't been formally done, I did ask them to take a look. The federal government, if I'm reading correctly, has three streams. The existing stream for connectivity, and that was not a huge amount of money to go right across the nation. There were two new sources of funding, but part of the document speaks to rural and remote. This was part of the reason for my outburst, is maybe a strong word, at the region's strat plan, that the province and the federal government have to understand that this is not just a rural issue, and it's not an issue for remote communities. And you know, the other issue is that the province seems to be focusing on connecting houses. We have businesses that cannot be competitive, you know, right here in town. You know, go down to Lake Road, and staff, by the way, sort of see Mr. Cannella there. We've got to give staff, you know, huge credit for the work that they're doing with Bell now to get high speed into you know, some of the business communities. So there's a question on that. And Ms. Hall is going to be having a discussion with her colleagues with the other chambers and boards to see if there's support for some sort of motion to highlight that while rural and remote need help, urban needs help. Now, I can give you some good news. I had a call from a business owner the other day with complaints about his high speed. And the complaint, it was too fast, and he had to replace all of his equipment, and he was laughing while he made that complaint. So this, again, is a direct result of the work of actually Mr. Ricciardi and getting some of those business areas. So there's light at the end of the tunnel. And the last thing I'll leave with you is, you know, Clarington Strat Plan, prior to this announcement, Mr. Allison and I were wondering about the Strat Plan, if we were looking at something that we can do, something doable in the municipality. Perhaps the municipality should look at connectivity right across the municipality. Maybe that should be, I've been categorizing this as a moonshot. So when we get to the Strat Plan, it's well worth good dialogue. So good motion, Councillor, thank you. Do it as amended. No. Okay, I was going to take the motion as amended. The clerk is saying no, deal with the amendment. So on the amendment, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. On the motion as amended, call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried. Thank you. Okay, the next is the town of Saugeen Shores, and the recommendation is to endorse. So they want help with building stuff. Mr. Pinn, give us, because I read that three times and came to the department heads meeting and said, I have no idea what they're asking for. So tell us what they're asking for and that'll help us with the decision.
Through the chair, a number of years ago, the federal government announced infrastructure funding, which falls under four key buckets. One of those buckets is recreation and cultural initiatives. That one is not expected to be released until probably September or October this year, once we'll find out when that funding is available and the strings with that. Saugeen Shores is asking the province and the federal government to kind of come up a little bit quicker than in the fall of 2019 and release those funds now. There was an agreement last year between the province and the feds for how these projects were going to be funded, and it's just been the rollout that's been taking a little bit longer, and Saugeen Shores wants it expedited.
All right. Based on that, Councillor Neal.
Do you have a motion? Or
no, I don't.
I'll give you the motion then.
Okay, to endorse. Seconded by Councillor Hooper. Questions or comments? Councillor Neal.
So I had the same kind of query as to what this was. So is this saying move now, don't wait till the fall on these applications? Is that what the motion is saying? Yeah,
so I think what we're saying is go faster and make it easier. Correct, Mr. Pinn?
Through the chair, there's no current applications because the program for the funding hasn't actually been announced yet. So last week they rolled out the roads infrastructure one for rural and northern Ontario under that bucket. The culture and recreation bucket hasn't been announced yet. So what this motion is asking is that the province hurry up and create the program and get it out to us.
Through the chair, do we qualify as a quote small community? Is this, I recall there was some small community thing. That, is this small communities? Or?
Oh, you're going to get Mr. Pinn going. Maybe.
through the chair, yes and no. It depends on, I think, the target. Last week we counted as, sorry, 2 weeks ago, we counted as a small and rural, a rural municipality because we were under 100,000. Last week, when the province announced funding for small municipalities for effective service delivery programs, we have not heard if we qualify, despite the fact that I have calls into the province. So the answer to your question is yes and no, depending on the province at the time.
So through the chair, so what did they announce? Like help for operations or something for small communities?
Through the chair, last week there was an announcement in Innisfil of significant amount of money. Town of Innisfil is getting over $600,000 to assist with service delivery reviews, capital infrastructure, service agreements to improve the delivery of service and make it more effective. So some municipalities can't improve their service delivery without a little bit of a kickstart. And that is what the province has announced, but they have not informed me at this point if we are qualifying for any of that money.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor. That's 9.2. Motion is to endorse. Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. The next is 9.4. This is the Clarington Ravens. And that is with regards to OPD-003-19. Councillors Hooper and Anderson, you seem to have a theory as to which way we might want to go with that. Do you want?
Can I give you, I don't know whether
we,
can
or
I give
we
you
can just motion? Refer this to the report and that'll maybe give you, so you whatever you want. We can refer it to the report or we can deal with the report. Now, whatever your preference is.
Deal with the report now. How's that?
Okay, so alter the agenda to deal with OPD-003-19. Seconded by Councillor Anderson. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Okay, so Councillor Hooper on OPD-003-19. And this is the sports field user guide and fees.
Okay. I would like to give you a motion that we refer that back to staff for consideration of the delegations that were present this morning in regards to the percentage of residency that live in Clarington.
Okay, so just that, or were you worried about the costs as well?
Well,
so if this costs as well, I would suggest just to refer it back to staff.
Right, okay, refer
that's it back probably to simpler.
Staff.
Seconded yep. by Councillor Anderson.
Yes, can I just add something as well?
Sure.
So I agree with Councillor Hooper as well. If the notice was given late to these folks, they already have their budget and their fee structure in place. So that was also unfair to them. So I would support referring it back to staff as well.
Should I put in that remain status quo for this year and move forward for 2020? After we have consultation with the various leagues.
Well, on a referral, and then we're giving specific instructions, the only challenge that I have, so.
Perhaps, Mr. Chair, if I could
councillors, might I suggest, because there are a number of different fees and rules in there, I think maybe in some discussion and dialogue to Mr. Brake, the expectation.
That's exactly where I was.
Right, the expectation when it comes back that we, that we've perhaps frozen them. So I'd be wary of a blanket freeze the fees, because part of it, for example, is reducing the fees on the artificial soccer. So if we say freeze the fees, we won't be reducing them. So let's just leave it as a refer to staff and see if Mr. Okay. Brake gets appropriate instructions. So so you want Mr. Brake to consider for at least with regards to the delegation leaving the fees static, no increase to the ball diamond fees, correct?
I don't think they really their issue was with the fee increase. I think it was with percentage,
and the number of residents using it.
Correct.
All right.
So I don't know whether through you to Mr. Brake, was he have any thoughts on that?
So give us some guidance here, Mr. Brake.
Certainly through the chair. I would agree that, to me, it doesn't look like it's a problem with the increase per year. It's more the residency component. I just want to draw to your attention that in 2018, we had four new organizations come to Clarington looking for field time during prime evenings and weekends. That's put a real strain on our availability of fields. Hence the policy to say we need to look after our residents first. The policy itself is modeled after other policies that exist in Pickering, Ajax, Uxbridge, and Oshawa. They do have upwards of 85% residue components there as well. Other municipalities have a weighting formula that they use, but I would agree with the delegation that the time that was given for them to accept this and understand it and to fully respond to it has been short. What I would suggest is that we kind of look at that component, what we can do for 2019 in terms of the residency component, work with the individual clubs. But I would suggest that the fee for 2019, the 50 cents per hour, is reasonable. It's been that way for the past 4 years. And they, according to DESA, they have budgeted a dollar per hour. So there should be suitable funds there to accommodate that component.
Councillor Neal.
Well, could we not divide the I'm looking for the...
I think if you look at 113. Ms. Binder's in the different. Oh, Councillor Neal, it might be in the back because the first report, this was in an update, so I don't know where. What's the total?
No, I'm looking for the actual motion, Mr. Chair. That's
well. So it is.
Okay, I got it. So I would move a division of two from the balance, so that we could deal with the reduction, and I agree with the idea of like my concern is that refer it back. I mean, the baseball starting in the next, you know, shortly. So how can we refer it back, and then wait, you know, 3 months, and then have them come back with a report that, you know, like the season's already underway. So what? So I would move a division of two.
So, Councillor, procedurally. We've got a problem because it's a referral. There's really nothing to divide. I think it can come back faster to satisfy your concern. Mr. Brake?
I think we could turn this around fairly quickly if we get the direction to meet with the clubs that have concerns and try to come up with an arrangement on terms of the residency component. I think we can turn that around within,
like council?
I would say within the next week or two.
Okay, so by council, I'm hearing we can have this.
So back. If it's referred to council, I don't have a problem with that.
All right, so let's, is that good with yourself and Councillor Anderson?
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, so anything further on that? Councillor Hooper.
And I just want to add that this has been an ongoing for many years in regards to residency. It's not just something, how we maybe did it this year was probably not the best way to do it, but I can go back. I think Director Caruana was probably playing in some of the leagues that I was playing in back then, and that you know, some of the we talked about giving wrong addresses for people. Like you can say you use my, you know, as a residency, and so the percentage wasn't as high. Back then we were talking 50%. So and there was pushback then too. So it's not just something that. Has just come, and I had my conversation with Ms. Noakes, or Haynes out in the hallway too, and they're kind of agreeable to, okay, maybe it needs to be a certain percentage, but they're not sure what the percentage should be. So thank you.
All right. Anything further? Councillor Neal.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just I'm kind of concerned that if what I'm hearing is correct, that they're not displacing anybody, and we're trying to promote, you know, people coming to Clarington. I personally, in that situation, I don't get why we would be concerned about a residency requirement. So, you know, I mean, it's different if they're on diamonds that, you know, people are not able to book for youth or whatever. But so I don't have the same concern given what I'm hearing, but unless staff is saying there's no, like we're turning people away because of these diamonds being used. So,
Mr. Brake, I think you are worried about that, yes?
I am a little bit worried about that. There is a lot of interest in Clarington Fields. There's clubs coming, they're growing. They're all requesting similar dates and times. We're trying our best to accommodate them, hence the policy, but we have to look after our own residents first. That's what we're trying to achieve. If we don't meet the standards on what they're looking for, they may go elsewhere, which we don't want to happen. We want to keep it here if we can, and that would be our attempt over the next week or two, is to try to work out some arrangement where we could accommodate their needs, but also look after the taxpayers and the residents of Clarington.
Okay, thank you. Second time around? Oh, yeah, no, okay, it's your motion. You get to wrap up, yes?
No, I just wanted to add further to what I was saying earlier and forgot about it, was back when I played the game of hockey, part of the men's league that played previous to that was like we had prime ice time on, I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday nights, I can't remember, in the evening, Thursday nights, I guess it was, and some of the youth hockey put pressure on the municipality that they were not allowed prime ice time. So in order to accommodate that, the men's league moved later in the evening. So, you know, some of the leagues do understand that what it's for our, you know, youth or residents of our municipality. So thank you.
All righty. So Mr. Brake, I think one, I still think we need to look at the, you know, the cost, if you can confirm, because I think there was a disconnect between the memo that we got and what we heard from the delegation. Might have just been me. So,
just to confirm that, if they do meet the residency component, their hourly rate would go up by 50%. If they do not meet the current residency rate, then their rate would go up significantly.
Gotcha.
That's the difference.
Okay, so the residency is, and good luck with figuring out a recommendation on that one, because I think we're all torn with, you've got teams that play, and you know most of them are Clarington residents and some not. So thank you, and we will look forward to that information at council. With that, call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Councillor Anderson, you're up.
Okay, Engineering Service Department, we're going to deal with 11.1 EGD-007-19. Hancock Neighborhood Subdivision, Phase 2B, Curtis. Plan 40M-2496, Certificate of Acceptance and Assumption Bylaw. Final works including roads and other related works. This report is for information only. Are there?
No, it's
for approval. Sorry, my mistake. For approval. So.
I'll give you that, Mr. Chair.
Second, Councillor Jones, and discussion. Councillor Neal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you to Mr. Canella. Is there an expectation of extending Norm Thompson Drive at some point?
Yes. Sometime in the future, there will be a plan being prepared for the development of lands to the south. So this is simply provision.
Is that supposed to then go down as far as the extension of George Reynolds?
I'm not certain that it will. It may. I don't think the entire plan's been prepared yet.
Okay, thank
but
you.
It could have some other configuration.
Okay,
I'm not sure.
Thank you.
Any further comments, Chris? So I'll call the question. All in favor? Opposed? That's carried. Any questions for the director? Councillor Neal.
Yeah, through the chair, sort of in my various travels around the municipality this spring, noticed a lot of water pooling sort of at the bottom of gullies, you know, where there's a bridge or something. I'm just wondering why we don't make more of an effort to install like drains on bridges and so on so that the water drains as opposed to pooling and then seems to really destroy the pavement. So, I know that you're always saying the drainage is really important to keeping pavement sort of from getting destroyed, but I'm just wondering why we don't make more of an effort to drain the water off. I could give you examples of where I'm talking about. So.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Okay, well, for example, just east of Salina, there's a sort of it goes down a hill and. You know, there's a lot of water that seems to collect, freeze, thaw, and then boom, the pavement's, you know, destroyed. And I'm just wondering why the, you know, when it's originally designed, there's not more of an effort to drain the water away, and like, that's all.
Yeah. Okay. Now I understand what you're talking about. Generally, what happens when you get into it's referred to as a sag, where the bridge usually is. Over a year, originally when the approaches to the bridge are constructed, the shoulder has a 6% crossfall. So water can easily get off the road pavement. And as you've said, it improves the life cycle of the road and its pavement. Over time, what happens is the shoulder gets... loses its crossfall, usually because of winter sand and such. So I know that maintenance go back and shave down the shoulders in most cases. And so to me, what I think generally would happen is that they would do that to any bridge or it could be a large culvert. That would exhibit that type of ponding at the shoulders.
Through the chair, if there's a bridge, though, I don't understand, and that's the low part of the road, the bridge, why there's not an actual drain put in the bridge, you know, on the side to drain the water off, like, because then, you know, and the worst one, I think, is on Nash Road, just where it goes under the 407, or not the, sorry, the soon-to-be-constructed 418. I mean, it's like a swimming pool under there, so...
I can't comment on that because I haven't seen that, but in most cases, the bridge structure itself, there's drainage across it unless there's some other deficiency. But where the problem usually lies, as I see it, is on the approaches immediately at the bridge structure, and that needs attention, in my opinion, annually.
So can I suggest you take a look at Nash Road and maybe
sure.
Again, where it goes under the 418, it's I don't know. We're going to be replacing pavement there on a regular basis, in my mind. But thank you.
Yep.
Mayor Foster.
Thank you, and Mr. Canella, when you're looking at that, I think if you talk at operations, so residents, Councillor Neal have been. I know they've spoken with Mr. Horvath, but it is problematic. You're 100% correct. You know, Nash under the 418, I think, is what you're talking about, the bridge there. So, Mr. Canella, you've got an answer for us.
That stretch of road, to my understanding from staff, the contractor, MTO, will be improving that area. So I don't know the details quite yet, but I do know that general area, there were concerns, and they're going to be addressed through that contract.
So whether it's engineering or operations, if you can provide us with, you know, some timelines and expected fixes, but again, I know, and I'm sure we've all been copied, or a number of us, on the concerns. It would be good to be able to get back to them and let them know what's planned. Thank you.
Are there any further questions? There being none, I motion. Okay, so that's not me then.
That's not you.
Thank you. That's, who is that?
Mr. Carolina, thank you. You are a gentleman. All right. We are in the community services portion of the meeting. There is one report in front of us that is 14.1 CSD-002-19. This is the 2018 year-end review. If I could have a mover and a seconder. Councillor Hooper, thank you. Councillor Jones, thank you. Questions or comments to Mr. Caruana about that? Wow, it's quiet. It's a big report. Councillor Hooper.
It's an excellent report, actually, and I just wanted to commend, it's not a question, it's more of a comment, just commend community services staff for going over and above their, for community customer service, and I just would like to bring everyone's attention to staff looked after someone who is celebrating a fairly significant birthday in their lives and amazingly still is able to participate in the skating program, and staff work with people up there and to help him celebrate his birthday. And I just want to say thank you to staff for, you know, going over and above what they normally would do in a situation like that. So just pass that on, please, and thank you.
All right, anything further on the report? Councillor Neal.
So the Darlington Sports Center, through the chair, on page 48, what's happening with that, the public skating? Seemed to have dropped off quite a bit in 2018. Is that, do you know what affected that? Or?
Thank you, Councillor. Through the chair, we're not 100% sure of exactly what is happening. There's been no changes to the times. There's been no changes to the hours of the day or anything like that. Maybe you can appreciate that we get these numbers probably put together in January, February ourselves, so we haven't had a lot of time to work with them. So where we find deficiencies or anomalies like this, we'll take a little bit of time to take a look at it, see what we can do, and try to find out a reason as to why there seem to be declining. But I agree with you, and we'll see what we can do to find out what we can do.
Okay, and through the chair, what's your policy on adult hockey? Do you have a residency requirement?
Thank
or do you have to be a fan?
Question,
do you have to be a fan of a certain team? You know, like
yeah, if you cheer for the Leafs, you can get in.
If
obviously,
if you're a Red Wings fan, you're at the bottom of the list. How does that work, through the chair?
What I can shed on, as far as any light from our perspective, through the chair. Excuse me. We have been asking for information with regards to the place of residence of all of the user groups for a number of years. If you can appreciate and. The councillor Hooper alluded to the fact that when women's hockey became quite popular, it put a bit of a strain on our ice time and predominantly the prime time. So what happened was we were taking a look at moving our adults into later groups, and we're setting it up so that in the event that we have to make further choices, and we're lucky at this particular point that we haven't, but we would take a look at residency at that particular point. It doesn't become a problem with the arena usage because for the most part, the arena leagues don't allow for cross-municipality participation for the most part. So if you play rep hockey, that's with a C and a P, you have to live in Bowmanville to play for Bowmanville or Clarington to play for Clarington or Orono to play for Orono, so to speak. They won't take people from Oshawa.
No,
Actually, talking about the adult lease. Adult. You know, like.
Same thing. We will take names. We take the residencies. But when push comes to shove and we have to take a look at it, we don't invoke at this point, maybe more direct answer to your question, we don't have an 85 percentile residency issue at this particular point. We haven't seen a need to invoke it at this point. Something we maybe take a look at. It's been brought to light now. I'm listening to the conversation. I certainly have that conversation with our staff. It's less of an issue because of the residency required by the local groups, i.e. hockey. You must be a local resident as opposed to baseball, where it's a little less stringent that way,
but the adults,
especially for the adult groups.
The adults aren't, like, as Councillor Hooper said, they're not occupying primetime ice, right? They're either Sunday morning or Sunday night, or
you know what, they used to be, and now we've moved them to the shoulder hours, more later evenings, and I think that's more appropriate. But that's been an evolutionary process, and it didn't come without some pain. You know, they lost members, they lost people, but you get to a better place at the end of the day. You know, not unlike what Mr. Brake said, we're trying to prepare and protect the times, not only in our arena facilities, but I'm sure our park facilities, for our local residents. Those are our priorities, and that's why we set up these rules, to make sure that our local people have the opportunities to take part.
Okay, I understand that. And but I guess, but currently, for an adult league, I don't know, I remember watching a Sunday morning league, you don't have to supply a list of addresses to get the ice time. Is that the way it works right now?
Yes, you do.
You do?
Yeah. Okay. There are many decisions that are being
but
made.
But there's no set percentage that you have to meet?
We don't, because we're not forced to make that call at this particular point. So we've been able to find them ice, and they've been more accommodating to move into later time slots. So we haven't really run into that problem for the most part. But what we did find, especially with adult groups, you were finding some groups that were, or some individuals that were playing in 2, 3, 4 different leagues. And so you need that information to start taking a look and working with the groups to make sure that you're dispersing what limited time you have, whether it's a facility, you know, indoor facility or an outdoor facility. Make sure you're dispersing it so that you're giving opportunities to everyone.
And through the chair, what's...
Councilor Neal, I'm just going to interrupt if you want to give me a motion to extend for 5 minutes. Seconded by Councilor Jort. All in support? Opposed? Carried.
So what is the current rental for ice time, like hourly rate?
I don't know, Councillor. I can provide that to you in a separate memo if that's... our fees and rates are actually coming fairly soon. I know staff are working on them as we speak. Sometime in May, we'll be bringing that report forward to you.
And is it increasing at any set percentage per year, like CPI or anything like that? Or is it just on a increased from time to time as need arises sort of thing?
We try to, through the chair. No, we don't use a CPI indexing type of formula. I've read the report. I'm already having the discussion with staff to take a look to see if whether we should incorporate something along those lines. What we do now is we take a look at neighboring municipalities along the lakeshore, see what they're charging. And we try to remain not the highest and not the lowest, but somewhere in the average, in the middle, for the most part, in our fee structure. So no, we don't automatically raise it depending on the consumer price index. But it may be something that we would consider in the future, absolutely.
Not trying to give you ideas. Thanks. Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anything further on that report? So thank you for the report. Please take back to staff. It gives a sense of just how busy it is on town and what we do to satisfy the need of our residents. So great report, much appreciated. Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Don't go anywhere quite yet. Do we have any questions for community services? I could let you go. Thank you. Thank you all. May as well break for lunch. I think we extended for 5 minutes, but break now, and I'll see you back at 1 o'clock, please. Folks, we'll call the meeting back to order, please. Oh, we finished. Yeah. All right. Okay, we're in Corporate Services Department. We've got one report from Corporate Services. That's COD-004-19, and that's the Baseline Road Extension and Lambs Road Reconstruction. I could have a mover and a seconder on that report. Councillor Jort, seconded by Councillor Neal. Do you have questions or comments on that? Councillor Neal.
So, through the chair, so what's the